Hi folks, Jean here, and welcome to another episode of Have You Ever Read? Now this month, some of you may find some of the contents of this podcast challenging, unbelievable, and maybe just weird. But that's okay. As I mentioned in the trailer, this podcast aims to hear from different parts of the church. Some we may be used to, some we're not so used to. We may not always agree, but I do think we ought to listen to one another. Today I'm speaking to my friend, Josephine Owusu, about Benny Hinn's Good Morning Holy Spirit. In this episode, Jo takes us through her own personal encounter with the Holy Spirit as she read this book. If you've never heard this type of testimony before, can I encourage you to prayfully reflect on it? One of my favourite verses in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which says, "Test everything that is said and hold on to what is good." Even if you don't agree with all that is said in today's episode, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. Instead, hold on to what is good. On a lighter note, Jo is a strategy consultant and works with founders. She has kindly offered to give away a free consultation to all listeners who are founders, but I'll tell you more about that at the end of the episode. That's enough from me. Here's today's episode of Have You Ever Read? Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn with my friend Josephine Owusu. Hi folks, I'm so excited about today's episode. Today I'm with a friend of mine called Josephine. I'll let her tell you a little bit about herself and how we met and how we know each other. So over to you, Josephine. Who are you and how do you know me?
Hi Jean, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I am Josephine Owusu and I am the founder of the Owusu Collective. I'm a business strategist in that business, and I'm also going to be launching a Christian stationery brand called Grace Stationery. And I know Jean because we met when I was a business mentor and prayer leader for the Cheerful Business Club.
And yes, so that was, I think, during the lockdown, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So to give some perspective, I think those of you that have listened to the podcast before might have heard an episode I had with Rachel, and Rachel was in the Cheerful Business Club with us. And yeah, Josephine was one of our mentors. It was really great, but we'll go into a bit more of that a bit later. But for now, Josephine, do you want to tell us what book you've chosen to talk about on this episode and why?
Yes. So I have chosen Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. And the reason why I've chosen that book is because it has had a huge impact on my Christian walk. I read it when I was at university and I ended up having a supernatural encounter with God during reading it, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Wow. So it's a book that is very dear to me. I've blessed a lot of friends with it because I will not give mine out away. And that's why I want to talk about that.
Okay, cool. So before we dive into the book, one of the things that I try to do with this podcast is get people's stories of their faith, understand people, like before you start talking about the book. So could you tell us how you came to know the Lord and also a little bit about your church background?
Okay, so I actually grew up in the church, but my background is maybe a bit unusual in the sense of I grew up in a Catholic church. So I went to Catholic school. We used to go to mass every Sunday. And to be honest, I didn't really have a personal relationship with the Lord back then. We would go to church. I believed in God, but I didn't really know about building that relationship with him. And then I was around 14, 15, we were introduced to like a Pentecostal church. I don't really deal with denominations, but it's the easiest way to describe it. Yeah. So a Pentecostal charismatic church where they were Bible believing and they believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to kind of really build a personal relationship with the Lord. There wasn't really, you know, I've come and given my life to Christ moment. I was always in the church. So was my family. But it was more of a gradual, okay, getting to know the Lord. And then when I went to university, that's when I really started to encounter God. And like, I had my supernatural encounter. I was part of a Christian group as well, like where we'd have a fellowship. And that's when I really had an encounter with the Lord. And we can go into a little bit of the encounter if you want to as well.
Yeah, why not? Let's just unpack that.
Okay.
Happy to share it.
So When I
Yeah.
remember, I think it was second year of university. So I was living off campus with five other friends. Four of them were saved, one of them wasn't. And I remember we used to go to our fellowship every week, and we'd rush home, we'd get in a cab, rush home to watch Desperate Housewives and Everybody Hates Chris. They were so popular at the time. So we would all gather in my room because I had a big TV, and we'd all just kind of gather on the bed and watch it. And I remember it was January 2000 and 2004, I'd say January 2006 or January, February. I don't know how I came across it, but I came across Good Morning, Holy Spirit.
Right.
I started reading a lot of Christian books, and I was about one chapter in, and I was gripped because Pastor Benny was talking about when he went to a Catherine Coleman crusade. That's it. I was like, it's not the name, it's a specific name. Yeah, so he went to a Catherine Coleman crusade, and he was talking about how he was just shaking uncontrollably when he was waiting outside. And so in my room, I'm lying on my bed reading the book. I'm halfway through chapter one, and I'm gripped. And I literally prayed a prayer. I didn't even say it aloud. I prayed a prayer in my head, and I said, God, if this is you, I want to have an encounter like Pastor Benny. And it's so funny because you need to be careful what you ask God for. Because I prayed it half believing. I was kind of like the disciples when they were praying for Peter to be released from prison. And when he knocked on the door, they're like, yeah, it's not him. It's like I prayed and I had faith that God could answer, but then it's like, did I really believe what I was praying? And it also reminds me of the scripture where the Lord will do exceedingly and abundantly
Abundantly.
above all you could ever ask or think. And so that's when it really made me realize that he really does hear our thoughts. So I prayed this prayer and then just continued reading with no expectation. Then about over the next month, I was asked from one of my fellowship leaders. So she was like the head of the fellowship. She said, usually once a month, we had an all night at university. And she said that she was praying and asking God for what the message was for the night. And he kept on saying, no, she's not the one to teach. It has to be, she mentioned me and then two other guys. So I was like, was it like really God? So, because I'm an introvert and I'm someone who, runs away from, any kind of,
Oh,
let's,
wow.
yeah,
That's interesting. No, then that means you've done well, Joe, because you've even got a YouTube channel. I mean, I'll put the links in the show notes, but no, you've done well. Wow. God is actually moving. Well, I know
But
people don't
God
like
really
it.
is moving
Yeah,
for those
he's
introverts
changing.
out there. Because even it's funny that you say that, because yeah, a lot of people are shocked. My husband's always saying, you're not an introvert, and I'm like, yes, I am. But I've really worked on a lot of things. So even though
Oh,
I
praise the
may
Lord.
talk outwardly, even actually, she's the one who kind of pushed me in terms of the mentoring and leading prayer outwardly and stuff. Well, the prayer thing has come from my church background, but then yeah, just doing that with the Cheerful Business Club really also helped as well. So it's about just doing those small things, and YouTube, it's like a muscle that you are just
Okay. We've digressed. So guys,
anyway,
just
yeah.
for those of you to fill you in, because you may have missed it. So when Joe mentioned Manexia was the lady who was in charge of, like, she's in runs the Cheerful Business Club. Again, I think I put the show the link to her club in Rachel's episode, but I'll also put it in this one to give you more context. For those of you that are interested in business mentorship from a Christian perspective, you can join them. Anyway, back to your story, Joe. Sorry.
So then basically, I was asked to teach, kind of like come up with a teaching for the all night. So I did. And I remember I was like, Lord, what am I going to do it on then? And he said, the Holy Spirit. So I said,
Wow.
okay, because I'm reading
The
Good Morning,
book,
Holy Spirit. So I taught on that. And then I realized why God told her to make me, because there was an encounter coming, but he needed my obedience. So about maybe 2, 3 weeks after, going back to us coming back from one of our Bible studies, and we're all gathered in my room. And were watching Desperate Housewives, watching Everybody Hates Chris, and then everyone starts filtering out to their room once we're done. And one of my friends, she's like, "Oh, Joe, I'm gonna leave in a sec, but I can really sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, so I'm just gonna just chill here for a bit. Don't mind me." And I said, "No problem." But then I started reading my book again, so I picked up Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and she sat on the bottom of the bed, and as soon as she sat on the bottom of the bed, it's like my feet had touched her, just her like her leg a little bit, and I felt uncontrollable shaking. And like exactly what Pastor Benny had described. And I was literally thinking, what's going on? And so I'm like shaking. And I'm like, okay. And then she's like just kind of just worshiping and just praising. So then we start worshiping the Lord, start praising. I stand up and I'm just worshiping the Lord and I keep on falling back into the bed. And I'm like, what's going on? And I've never experienced this. I've seen people fall, never used to be like, Holy Spirit, don't come to me. So before then, I was the one who was like, oh, I'm scared of this kind of thing. But I'm falling back and I'm thinking, what's going on? I'm like, is this me? Am I flinging myself? You know, you have all these thoughts. And then I hear a still small voice tell me, I think I was praying. And then I hear a still small voice saying, listen. But I'm thinking, that's me again. And then my friend straight away, so I start praying. And then my friend says, Joe, stop talking, listen. So it's like
It's a
confirmation.
confirmation.
So I'm like, okay, what is going on? So we literally start just praising God, worshiping God. And I'm like, I think I'm having an encounter. So then she leaves, and I'm sitting there just like a bit in awe. And then the Holy Spirit says to me, Luke 3:16, if I remember correctly. And I went to look and it said, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I'm like, oh, okay. I think we have an encounter here. So to cut a long story short, this actually begun an intense week-long encounter with the Lord. In that week, I think the next day, that same friend, the Lord actually used me and my housemates to deliver her. So yeah, deliver her. Any spirits that had been like, had somehow gotten in there, delivered her. So I remember the next day we were sitting there studying together. I was becoming very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we're trying to study, and she'd start laughing, and then I'd suddenly be like, "Oh, like it was so strong, like couldn't do anything." And then I went to lie down. I remember I was like, "Oh, I'm a bit tired," so I went to lie down on the couch because we were in the living room. And she came to stand near me, and as soon as she stand me, I s stood near me. I sensed like a demonic presence, and so I literally screamed the house down for everyone to come down, more for fear, if anything, because I'm like, what is this? But there was a spirit of discernment that was rising up where I could sense that, and so we started praying, and they're like asking my friend why, what's going on, and she's like, I don't know, and I'm like, don't listen to her, it's not her speaking. And so the Lord just started a deliverance, basically. So there was that. Then the next day, he started a deliverance with another one of my housemates. I remember we couldn't do any work because we were just so sensitive to the presence of God. There was another friend who, she actually, as I said, she wasn't saved. And I think it was like the last but one day. In the morning, she was about to go into the kitchen. She'd just eaten. And I said to her, I won't say her name, but I called her name and I said, oh, serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So, because she used to start coming to the Bible studies, but she still hadn't given her life properly. And she looked at me strange and then she went in to the kitchen. So, what I found out later is because we had the Bible study that evening, but it was at our house, we were all praying, we were worshiping, and the Holy Spirit said, go and stand next to her, hold her hand, and just pray with her. So I went to stand next to her, started praying with her, and I found out later one of my other friends. So I saw my other friend was also standing on the other side, and the Lord had told her to also pray for her. So after As soon as I started praying for her, she turned to me and said, "Joe, they knew you were coming." And I'm like, "Oh Lord, what's going
Not another
on?"
one, not another
So my
set.
spirit's like, "Oh gosh, Lord, seriously, I don't know if I can take this." And then so we started praying. And one thing, just to give you context, she'd had something where she has never been able to scream. There was something that happened when she was younger. When I tell you, she screamed that house down. And so it was a spirit that had thing and it came out. She told me later that when I told her in the morning that to serve the Lord with all her heart, that she went into the kitchen and she just laughed. And she was really resistant to come to the service that day because they did know what was going to happen. And so we had that. So it was a week-long encounter. I was meant to have gone to a friend to visit her in Warwick University, but last minute it got cancelled. And now I knew why, because I'd taken time off my part-time job. It's because God had already ordained for that encounter. And so I think I went back to uni the week after, but wherever I'd go, even just walking down the street, I would really sense, I'd have this discernment like, oh my gosh, that person's got a demonic spirit. That person's spirit's not right. And it's like you could see people were recognizing you spiritually as well. It was really kind of scary and unnerving, but I knew that God was with me. But there was one thing, and I'll end with this because this whole encounter is like, we could have a whole nother podcast on it. But I went to university. I think it was about 3 weeks after the encounter. And I was sitting in class, and I was at the front of class next to a wall at a desk. And you can always, when you have an encounter, when you're sensitive with the Holy Spirit, you can sense when something's about to shift or when the atmosphere started to shift. And I was sitting there and I could sense something was about to happen. And I was literally pleading with God. Remember, I've prayed and said, "Lord, I want to encounter with you." And I'm pleading, like, "Oh Lord,
Don't,
can't do it here. If I drop here, they're gonna think something's happened." And like, I'm literally pleading. And you know what God did? God, this is one of the most beautiful things that I've experienced. I'm like, if I could experience this again, I would love it. So I'm literally like, God, no, in my head, I'm pleading, pleading. And all okay, I'm trying to explain it as best as I can. It's almost like the tallest, biggest, widest person, like man, kind of almost like man figure, came from behind and just hugged me, but enveloped me. And that is when I really understood what Pastor Benny said, that the Holy Spirit is a person. Enveloped me from behind, just. And I was full of comfort. And it was so real, as me and you are speaking to each other. And that was just like the creme de la creme. It was the icing on the cake.
So that was that you've led us into, you've said quite a lot actually, Joe. And I understand why you've chosen this book now, because it really did impact your, not just your spiritual life, but like your basically your day to day, like as you were encountering people. And one thing you said, I mean, when you mentioned about the girl that you spoke to and you said, serve the Lord with all your heart to her, it reminded me of something that he said in the book, that when the Holy Spirit comes, it's not just about power and boldness, it's also about conversion. That the Holy Spirit plans at all times to convict us of the witness of who Jesus Christ is. So I think for those people who are listening, because you know, this podcast goes out to people around the world. We have people who listen to it in Iraq, French Polynesia, United States, UK, Germany, all over the world, and from different different denominations or parts of the church, right? And some people may find this type of discussion about spirituality a bit too much, like unbelievable. And they're wondering, how do we know when it's just your mind? How do we know when it's just, when it's actually another spirit? You know, when people are just doing it for show. I would say one of the cardinal signs to look for is, does this lead people closer to Jesus Christ? Is this person just about glorifying themselves? Or are they about leading people closer to the gospel? And also something else that Pastor Benny mentions in the book alongside that is, there's supposed to be fruit. There's supposed to be a transformation of you. So I'm probably, we haven't got to it yet, but I'm sure, Joe, that you will say that even after you've had those fantastic, magical, for want of a better word,
Because
encounters.
you don't like using the word magical, but I understand what you mean when you
There is also that piece of my life needs to be different now. I'm not going back to the same way I was. There's supposed to be some sort of conversion. The Holy Spirit isn't, it's not as it's, even though I said the word magical, it actually isn't magic. It's not about, I don't know, just, it's not just about power. It's actually about God using us to manifest his will and ways on the earth. So I hope, because I don't want people to get confused about what you said, because as I said, it's different people are coming from different backgrounds and different churches. And that's the whole point of this podcast, for us as a global body of Christ to encounter different things that we've never heard or never seen before. And you know, there's a verse in Thessalonians that I really like, and I hold on to it all the time. And it says, hold on to what, test every spirit, but hold on to what is good. So even if you've heard what Joe has said and you think, you know, I'm not quite sure about that, that's also fine, because that's the instruction. It's up to you to judge what has been said, but then at the same time, hold on to what is good. So yeah, anyway, I digressed a little bit just to give some context. So
No, I love what you said about that, because I think there's a scripture even in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And it's one of my favorite scriptures, because it talks about how they studied the scriptures to
yes,
see if it was
the Bereans,
what they had said. And so it's like, no matter who is speaking, always go back to the word. And even what you were saying, like, how do you know if it's God? How do you know if someone's just making it up? How do you know if it's, even with what you're going through, it will all go back to the word. Even with my encounter, I kept on telling you that I would be led to the word of God. Everything aligned with the word of God.
And I also want to say, one of the things that really struck out from the testimony that you gave about the book is something that I read around the Azusa Street revival. You know, in our modern times, we are used to seeing encounters like you've described with the Holy Spirit led from the pulpit from a man of God or a woman of God laying hands on people, and then you fall under the power. But what I like about your story is actually, no, this was just you and God in the room. And William Seymour, he used to, when he was leading the Azusa Street Revival, one of the things that he used to say was, whenever he saw that the Holy Spirit would turn up in his meetings, he would actually get off the stage so that everybody knew that it had absolutely nothing to do with him and it was all about God. So that's just also for those of us who may be thinking, okay, how and when can I have an encounter with the Holy Spirit? You know, one of the things, I mean, we're not really talking much about the book, but actually in the book, Pastor Benny Hinn mentions that, look, all you have to do is really ask. And that's what Jesus Christ taught us, that look, if you ask, God will give the Holy
Will
Spirit.
be given unto
It will be
you.
given his, even you who know how to give good gifts. If you and you give your, when your child asks you for something, you're willing to give it to them, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So really, if you're looking for an encounter with the Holy Spirit, maybe it's not going to be as dramatic as what Joe described. Maybe it's just, you know, that inner witness, that inner knowing of the love of God, salvation, you know, the assurance of your salvation. All you have to do is ask. So,
And just to add to that, actually, is everyone's experience is different. And I'm so glad you said that, because, I had this encounter, but then other people have different encounters, or if God ministers and speaks to everyone in a different way. I love what you said about how Pastor Benny said that all you have to do is ask. And it's completely true, because all I did was ask, and I didn't even say it with my mouth. I said it with in my head. But it's crazy, because I had the encounter at home, and there were all these extra things that I had on top of it. So I had the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We saw the deliverance side. So it gave me a newfound respect for my pastor, because it's like, wow, they come and do that in a corporate setting, because there's a tax that came as a result of that as well, which I wasn't able to get it into. I didn't mention that when there was another time, I think it was the same day, when I went to lay on the couch and my friend came to stand over me. Before that happened, as soon as I lay down on the couch, I heard it's one of the few times that God has spoken to me audibly.
Mm.
I heard the loudest voice, and all I heard was tongues. And my mouth opened and I started speaking in tongues.
Wow.
That's how I received this gift of tongues.
Wow.
I never actually prayed for the gift of tongues because I've been in services where they're like, if you want the gift of tongues, come and
Yeah.
pray for it. I had never prayed for it,
And no one
but
laid hands on you either.
no one laid hands
Yeah.
on me. It was tongues and it came. And if you notice throughout my testimony, God was speaking. I
Yeah.
heard the still small voice and it was clear, crystal clear. I heard the loud voice. And so I received the gift of tongues. And so it's if you desire to have an encounter with the Lord, honestly, just ask and he will meet you how he knows he wants
Yeah.
to meet you.
Yeah, so we've spoken a lot about I guess the effect slash impact of the book itself, but maybe we should delve into a bit more about what the book actually contains. So for those of you who haven't yet read it, and I do hope you get a chance to read it, so the
Please
book
do.
starts mostly with, as Joe mentioned, Pastor Benny's experiences of the Holy Spirit, how he gave his life to Christ, how he encountered God, how he went through to a Catherine Kuhlman crusade, and then it goes into more teaching about the Holy Spirit and describes how, I think Joe touched on it briefly, about the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person, a personality, distinct from Jesus Christ, who's the Son, and God the Father. And his point is to help us as Christians to stop minimizing the impact or the effect that the Holy Spirit can have in our lives and in our in our way of doing things, I guess, because he's saying that most of us, if not all of us, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, but we feel that the Spirit is I don't know, a side piece, not side piece, like a side guy. And his point is actually no, the Holy Spirit is just as powerful, if I'm
No,
understanding correctly.
no,
Yeah.
you're completely right. And even just to add to that, I think what really resonated with me is because of his background. I think was it Greek Orthodox, if I
Yes,
remember?
Greek
Yeah.
Orthodox
So
background.
he came from a Greek Orthodox background and I came from a Catholic background.
Right.
So in the Catholic Church, even though they do believe in the Holy Spirit,
Yeah.
they don't operate in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So you will not see people falling out in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Like even when you clap, everyone will look like, oh, what's going on
Yeah.
here? So yeah, you're completely right about that.
Yeah. And just to say, I think both Pastor Benny and Joe probably support this. Nobody's saying that the more traditional churches are of less significance, because we all know that if it wasn't for those older traditional Catholic Church and Greek Orthodox Church, we wouldn't be here. It's just to say that their experience did not involve the Holy Spirit in this way as described in the book. And also, I think there are charismatic Catholics, so there are some people in that denomination who do subscribe to the gifts of the Spirit in the same way that is described. Anyway, so yeah, Joe, how you've already discussed how it had an impact on your I would say your faith, but how did the book, if any in any way, maybe the doctrines that written on the theology within the book, impact your personal walk with Christ, not necessarily in the supernatural, but maybe more on the practical side? Was there anything that you understood in your new way through reading that book?
Oh, 100%. I think it was this, not even I think, it was this work that really opened my eyes to, oh, you can have a personal relationship with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, where it's not just we just pray. I think before that, I would pray to God, and that was it. Whereas it was more teaching you about building a relationship with the Lord, about cultivating that daily walk where you're studying the word, where you're speaking to the Holy Spirit, the way it made the Holy Spirit more real, where it's like, oh, I can actually take you as a friend, like how we are speaking right now.
Yeah.
That's how God wants us to relate. And it just taught me about hearing from God as well and kind of trying to discern Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me and asking the Holy Spirit to lead me. Whereas before, I guess I'd just do things. Whereas after that, it was actually, it kind of taught me about speaking to God on a day-to-day basis and listen to his voice. As I told you, in that encounter, God would speak to me. And so it was no longer just I speak to God. Think about just in general, when we have conversations, communication is about giving and receiving. It's about listening. It's about speaking. It's a two-way street. So why is it different with God? Why is it different with the Holy Spirit? We need to be able to, as much as we speak with him, we pray with him, pray to him, we also need to be able to hear him. Says my sheep, they hear my voice, they know my voice. And the only way you can know his voice is if you keep on practicing. Just like you know, if your mum was speaking down the road and she was shouting, you would know that's your mum because you've become familiar with her voice. And so it really did teach me about kind of growing closer to God, about really getting into the Word of God and studying it more. Because that's one thing that Pastor Benny does. He backs it up with scripture. He doesn't just give you his encounter, but he also backs it up with scripture so that you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
That you've raised anyway, you mentioned this communion point that reminded me of something that he said in the book, and he uses 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14, which is about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about what does it mean to have communion, and he lists 7 points, and he mentions like basically what you said, that one, you should feel the presence of the person. You'll have fellowship with them. You'll share things with them. And he mentions that the Holy Spirit has shares things with us like joy, like peace. And then there'll be participation. So it'll be an ongoing relationship sort of moving. There'll be intimacy, friendship. And he speaks about comradeship. So there'll be someone, like you said, leading you. So I definitely agree with you with the communion piece. And then for me, the book gave me two, I took away two major points from the book. One was about grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, he uses this really interesting example. And there's another book that the podcast, I think, will for that episode will go out before this, so I can mention it. It's called The Anointing by R.T. Kendall. Now, similar sort of discussion in that book, but basically what Pastor Benny is saying is there's a place where you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And the way the Holy Spirit is, because it's a personality and he's sensitive, it will get wounded and withdraw. And actually, in some places, you won't notice that the Holy Spirit has left you. And he uses the example of Samson, who, when his hair was cut and Delilah said to him, "They're here, the Philistines are here, get ready to go," Samson had no clue that he had lost the presence of God, that he had lost the spirit. He was actually ready to go, good to go. And then he got out and then he realized, oh, he's not with me anymore. Same sort of thing with Saul, that, the Bible says that the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, but Saul remained king for about 20 years. He was still, everybody still supported him. Yes, Samson and David probably knew he was slightly off, but no, I said Samson, I mean Samuel and David probably knew that he was off. Those around him probably knew that he was slightly off, but actually Saul was there for a good number of years before it was clear that he was no longer in God's plan. And it really has. I guess we'll discuss this more in the R.T. Kendall podcast. That book is amazing, but yeah, we'll discuss that there. But Benny Hinn said something similar, that you know, the Holy Spirit can go, and I just have to keep asking myself, how will I know that he's still there? Like, how I have to keep constantly asking myself, am I grieving the Holy Spirit? And I think Pastor Benny does give some signs and symptoms about when you know whether or not the Holy Spirit is with you. We've spoken about one of them already, is about does he lead you to witness? Does he lead you to pray? Does he convict you of your sin? Like, these are signs that the Holy Spirit is still
Still
there.
there.
But yeah, I found that to be interesting. And then a second, sorry, go on, Joe, you're
I'm
gonna say
just
go
going to
ahead.
add something to what you just said about grieving the Holy Spirit. What's crazy and how it's very dangerous because, as you said, Saul was still king for a long time. because the gifts are without repentance. You can
Yeah.
have the gifts. God will, that you've got it. So you
Yeah.
can still be operating in the gift and the
Yeah.
Holy Spirit's not there.
Yeah.
But one of the key things, as you said, is do you get convicted anymore?
Yeah.
Or is it everything's, just see it your way and that's it? And you don't even feel bad about anything, which you should be feeling bad. That is one of the signs.
Yeah,
It's completely right.
you've actually reminded me of a one-liner that Pastor Benny said, that when he's speaking about tongues, and he says that he quotes exactly what you just said, that the gifts of and callings of God are without repentance. But he said it's not the gifts that we're supposed to be looking for, it's the giver. And most of us think that because we still have the gifts of the Spirit, we don't necessarily, we may not have the fruit, but we're not too cared about the fruit, because nobody, like, fruits are, for some strange reason, I don't know why God's done that, but they're actually more hidden than the gift, right? So because we still see the gift, we think that the giver is still there. But actually, we all know this, that you can give somebody a present and not speak to them for 25 years, and that person will still have that present, and they'll still be reminded of the fact that I gave Joe, I don't know, a wine glass. She still has that glass.
Very true.
Yeah. And also, I want to bring up this point on another thing that really, I would say, it challenged me. I don't know if you remember, he was towards the end of the book where he spoke to a pastor. I was in passing in a corridor. They were at a convention somewhere, and he saw this man as a great man of God. So he was like, "How can I please God?" And the pastor said to him, "You can't. Stop trying." And Pastor Benny was confused. And the man, he asked him again, "How can I please God?" And he said, "It's not about trying." He said, "Don't try," were his words. "It's not about your ability. It's about his ability in you." And Pastor Benny's point is, so often we're trying to strive to be better, trying to do more. We're always, he even said something that was a bit challenging, really challenging to me, where he said, we shouldn't be saying, "Can I have more of you, God?" How scriptural is that? That's what he said. He doesn't think that's scriptural. Because we're supposed to totally surrender to God. There's not supposed to be any of me. It's just a total him over me, basically. Him in me. I'm supposed to be filled with him to the top. So it can't be that there's a point where I'm pouring in and there's half me, half him. It's supposed to be
Total surrender.
total surrender. So that really challenged me. I learned a lot about that.
Yeah,
So
I think that was a big challenge. Yeah, it was a big challenge because it's like, oh, because naturally it's true. We, just like we, and I'm a natural people pleaser. Recovering people pleaser. And so it's like just how we would with people, how we try to please them. Do you understand? It's we kind of do that same approach with God. Like, how do we try and please the Lord? How do we? And it's as you said, and what Pastor Benny said, it's about completely surrendering our whole being, which that's even more challenging. You think that, oh, pleasing, trying to striving to please him is challenging. But yeah, try and totally surrender, because that means that even things that you desire to do, which you know that well, the Holy Spirit will be happy with this, you have to battle with that. And and if you truly surrender, it's about laying that aside. It's that scripture in Corinthians that says, I die daily. Authored it, I die daily.
I mean
That's true surrender.
that I mean in this, so the version that's out now of this book, Good Morning Holy Spirit, is the, I think, 10-year anniversary version. And in the epilogue, he mentions that verse. He says that, look, now more than ever, forever. He makes two points. He says, now more than ever, we need the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. And he's more convinced than ever that we need to die daily. That in order to have the Holy Spirit present in our lives, there's a daily submission, total surrender of our flesh, of our desires, of our wants and our needs. Yeah, totally agree with that. Was there anything else that you found challenging in the book?
I think apart from that, and then also, I guess, when I was reading in the first chapter, just the encounter itself, because it's never anything that I had ever experienced. That just seemed, that's why when I prayed the prayer in my head and I didn't even ask God, it was more of a challenging him, because it was like, I believed what I was reading, but it was like, what is that something that I can access? So it was a, yeah, I guess the book really challenged me in the sense of, because Pastor Benny, he makes it known that anyone can have access to the Holy Spirit as if we want it. And so it kind of, that where I was challenged was, is that true, Lord? Little old me, can I really access the Holy Spirit like that? Can I really build a relationship and have an encounter and get to know him like all these other people?
True. So we've touched on this kind of briefly, but I want to ask you more specifically. Do you think there's anything, because one of the things I want to do in this podcast is not just to skate over things. I think Christians tend to have this, people perceive Christians as people who sweep things under the carpet and they don't want to talk about what's difficult. And so I didn't want to do this with this podcast. I want to try and the aim is to talk about things that we agree mostly on as a body of Christ, but then also to say, yes, there are places where we may disagree, but that's okay. So in that, would you say there's anything that people may find controversial in the book, apart from what we've already discussed about, the manifestations of the spirit in a particular way? Is there any other thing that you think might be controversial, as it were?
I would say from a controversial standpoint, it's more denominational. It's more the, because if you're used to, like, if you're traditional from a traditional church background and you're used to, okay, we've got our rituals, basically. I guess the controversial part is the fact that Pastor Benny was challenging the traditional church. He was challenging the way they did everything. Like, even just give an example with his parents and how, like, they were forbidding him. Even though he was still doing something to do with God, but because it wasn't the God that they understood or the way that they did things, they were like, what are you doing? And he just seemed like he was very extreme. So for those who may come from a traditional background, it may seem very out there. There's loads of people. There's another book on the seven spirits of God. You can tell that I'm very into, I'm just into things to do with the Holy Spirit and gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the things that I just enjoy learning about. But he went to one of Pastor Benny's services. But before that, him and his wife, they used to be like, who's that funny looking man on the TV? And God had to minister to them. And so I think what's with other denominations and stuff, where they're going to be challenged is that spiritual aspect, that thing where it's not just the Holy Spirit, like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and that's it. But it's like the supernatural aspect. That's going to be a challenge.
That's good. So I want to also flag that probably by now you would have, if you're a regular listener, you would have also heard us discussion about this in R.T. Kendall's The Anointing book. So there is this great discussion where we talk about, I'm going to be talking about with the guests on that episode, that this difference between the traditional churches and the charismatic churches, and how once sometimes the charismatic churches overemphasizes the spirit, and sometimes the traditional churches de-emphasize the spirit. So I think it's something for us to all learn from. And yes, that may be controversial, but I think I'll go back to the verse I mentioned before in First Thessalonians, that really, as Joe also said, that check firstly if what we're saying or what the book is saying is found in the scriptures. If it's not, then throw it away. I mean, simple and straightforward. And the verse in Thessalonians that says, it says, test every spirit and hold on to
Agree.
what is good. That's the reality. And I would say another thing that is controversial, addressing the elephant in the room, is that some people actually don't receive Pastor Benny Hinn at all, because of the prosperity gospel message. But recently, one of my good friends reminded me that, God works with all of us and changes all of us. And actually, of late, Pastor Benny has denounced some of his prior teachings. And so, no one is perfect, and we all go from glory to glory. But I think that there's something to learn from each and every one of us. God can use anybody to teach any message. So You have to be, I feel, also think there's a place where we as individuals and Christians have to be humble enough to submit to the spirit, the voice of God, when it comes in a vessel or in a person or in a place that we're not used to or we don't agree with. So I would say that in itself, the fact that we're probably talking about a Benny Hinn book is actually probably controversial to a lot of people. But
You know, I'm glad you've mentioned, sorry to,
there's no problems, no
I'm
worries.
glad you've mentioned that because, even when I was deciding, I was like, this has got to be controversial because I know some people, you know, there's videos, YouTube videos about false prophet, not false prophet, but false teacher and all this stuff. But I love what you said about how, you know, the charismatic, there's emphasis, more emphasis on the spirit of God. And then maybe with the more traditional ones, there's less. And the beauty is I come from both. So what I would encourage your listeners is to be open to what the Lord is leading you. And as you said, God can use anyone. He spoke to it through a donkey.
I was gonna say it, and you
So
said it
he
for
can
me.
use anyone. And so it's just about surrender, as Pastor Benny said, and being open to what God is saying and then looking through the scriptures. But I've had the privilege of being able to grow up in the Catholic Church. Even when I went to university, I went to different churches. So I've really gotten to experience different sides. So I'm, you know, like even when it comes to gospel music or Christian music, I listen to all types. So it's not just,
As for
you
me too, I
know,
listen to the hymns,
listen
the
to everything.
choral singing,
Exactly.
definitely.
So it's really about, it's just about being open because God can use anyone. And I agree.
And I think we're at a stage where I believe that in order for us to see the real revival and the transformation of the world, I think it's the global church learning from each and every one of us. So there are things that the Orthodox and the traditional Anglican Church and the traditional Catholic Church do far better than Baptists, Methodists, Charismatic, Pentecostals, and vice versa. There are some processes and systems in place that don't exist in other places. There's an understanding of the Word of God and a reverence for the Word of God that don't exist in some of the more modern churches that exist in the more traditional. But anyway, we're digressing. It's all to say that we can all learn from one another, I
Yeah,
guess.
there's something that we can learn from each
For
other.
everybody.
And there's definitely like I believe that there's a reason why I was born and raised in the Catholic Church, went to a Catholic school because that actually laid my foundation. So yeah, you are right there.
Good. Is there anything else you want to say to the audience about the book?
I would say if you really want to get closer to God, if you want to have an encounter with God, I would recommend, if you haven't read Good Morning and Holy Spirit, read it. It's a very sound book. It's transformational. And just speak to God. If you're someone who you believe in God and everything, but you are like, oh, I don't think I've heard the voice of God, or I don't really have that relationship. It just starts with you just every day, just a little thing. So just start with the Word of God. That's where you start. Start with the Word of God and just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to read? There are times when I go into my quiet time and it's different every time. Sometimes the Lord will drop, I'll wake up with a scripture in my spirit or a song in my spirit or whatever. And then I'll go and I will look for the scripture. And then there's sometimes I just opened my Bible to go and look at another one. It happened to me this morning. I was going to my Bible to study a scripture, but before I got to that scripture, the Lord opened one and it spoke to me. It was like, oh, I was meant to study this. And so it's a, yeah, God can speak to you in different ways. And if you really desire to go deeper and also to really walk in your purpose in a way where it's like God is just going ahead of you and he's leading you, then I would encourage you to just go back to the Word of God. And then if you haven't read this book, definitely read it.
I'm sorry, but you said something that reminded me of a one line he said. Another one line. I'm a lot one liner person. They really
I
help
like that you even
me.
remember all these. I'm really impressed with your brain.
So you mentioned your daily quiet time. And I just remembered where he said, look, we need to get to a place, and it's, I think people are lost, missing this, that we need to have a daily encounter with God.
Yes.
And he said that you cannot be, like, to fully experience the Holy Spirit, you can't depend on yesterday's experience.
Yes.
So that was a real game changer for me. You know, that, I mean, I knew it, but I like the way he phrased it. You know, and also Christ said, give us this day our daily bread. That's
Daily.
our prayer. It's supposed to be a daily encounter with God in your word, with the Holy Spirit. Now, nobody's prescribing what that should be or how long it should be, other than there needs to be this. Well, and just to say, it's not that God's going to love you more or less if you do your quiet time every day or not. That's not what we're saying. But for us to have that presence, that fellowship, that communion with Him, it is a daily witness, that daily witness. Anyway, before.
100%. No, that's the I'm glad that you even brought that up. 100%. There's another book that I love called by Gary Oates called Open My Eyes, Lord. And this kind of took my listening to, hearing from God in a to a different level. That's where the Grace Stationery actually how God
Wow.
started gave me the business idea, my second business. And he says practice we have to practice his presence daily.
Wow. This is related to, we did a podcast on this, The Practice of the Presence of the Lord by Brother Lawrence. Again, another game-changing book, but the podcast is available so you can listen to it. We won't go into those details. But you nicely segued onto your top, any top books you would like us to recommend. So you've given us this one by Gary Oates, did you say?
Yeah, so Open My Eyes, Lord, by Gary Oates. Transformational. We might need to have do another podcast on this because another transformational book in my life.
Well, anything else?
Yes, number two, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. That's just great in terms of how you relate to your people, whether it's your family, friends, relationships, marriage, that kind of thing. Excellence in the Gifts of the Holy Spirit
Oh, wow.
by Joe Jordan. Now, with this one, I think it's out of print. He passed a few years ago, and I actually had the privilege of meeting him when I was studying abroad in California. And I bought the book, and I'm like, I wish I bought more.
Oh,
That
wow.
book is like has become a gold mine. It kind of breaks down the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit,
Wow.
and it breaks it down. It's a very small book. It's not many pages, but it breaks it down in a way that you really understand, and you can identify which ones you have, and if you want any more. So that's amazing. There's a book called by Frank Peretti. It's a fiction book, and there's a series. So the first one that I've read was This Spiritual Darkness. It's amazing. So what that teaches you, it's a book that's set in a small town in America, but it teaches you about spiritual warfare because you see that you see what's going on in the physical realm, but then you also see what's going on when he calls them the saints are praying, and what's going on with angels, what's going on with demons. It is just one of the most amazing fiction, like Christian fiction books that I've read. So I'd recommend that. And then the last one, I really struggled to keep it to five, but the last one is He Gave Gifts Unto Men
Oh,
by Kenneth Hagin.
yes.
That book, oh, that blew my mind as well because it teaches you about again the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but then it talks more about the offices as well and breaks that down. And it really that gave me insight into gifts that God had shown me in dreams that I didn't understand. And so I would recommend that as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. And you know, you've mentioned that you struggled to bring the books down to five. Do you want to just give us a few tips about your reading habits and how people, Christians specifically, can read more books?
Okay, so this is something that I'm actually challenging myself more because I'm someone who usually, I've always been a reader. I used to be the 3 a.m. person, but as I got older, reading before bed has been a struggle. Like I'd get through three quarters and I'm gone because I go to bed like I can fall asleep like that. And so what I have started doing is in my morning routine, I want to read like for half an hour. And so I would usually read a Christian book because I'm also someone who owns my own business and I'm all about personal development. I'm always reading a personal development book as well. So what I do is, okay, in the morning, I read one of my Christian books, and one at a time, because it's very, for those who are readers, I don't know about Eugene, but before I've realized that I had like five books that I had on the
Yeah,
go.
I have about six on the go at the moment.
I was literally just like, oh. So what I do is I just choose one book, and I also there's a season for each book you're reading. So I'm always, the Holy Spirit would lead me to, we're in this season, you need to read this book. So I'm currently reading the book, The Seer, for example, by James Gore, because I'm learning, I'm just diving deeper into my spiritual giftings. And so I'll read for half an hour, just put a timer on 30 minutes, just read in the morning. So I have that as part of my morning routine. And then in the evening as well, not when I'm just going to bed because I know how I am and that I can fall asleep, but I might, like when I'm like alert and stuff, read for half an hour, but that's more my personal development book as well. And then sometimes if I do have time during lunchtime or something, I will also read a book. This is one thing I do miss about commuting, even though I don't miss the commute. I used to read on the commute. So if you're someone who still has a commute, read on your commute, take advantage. That or podcasts. So yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Joe, I've kept you for a while over the time, but I just wanted to ask. So you mentioned that you have a few businesses. Can you just give us a bit more information about them and let us know where we could find you and find out more about what you're doing and maybe support your businesses?
Yep. So I've got the Owusu Collective. I mentioned that I'm a business strategist, and if you need any strategic support, you can find me on www.theowusucollective.com. And if you are struggling to spell that, don't worry, we'll have that in the show notes.
Definitely.
And then you can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm really like focusing on LinkedIn. I really love that. I'm on Instagram. So LinkedIn, if you just search Josephine Owusu, for Instagram, it's I am Josephine Owusu. I have a YouTube channel if you search Josephine Owusu Strategist. And also, I am going to be launching this year Grace Stationery, which is a Christian stationery brand. And you can follow me, follow the page on Instagram. I think it's Grace Stationery, but I'll make sure I send you the link so that you can put it in there. But you can find me in all those places. Subscribe to my YouTube channel because you'll find more stuff as well about Grace Stationery, about just all the business I do, the strategy and everything.
So just on that, for the strategy piece, what type of businesses, like who should, if I'm in the audience and I want to, like who do you target?
So it's usually I usually work with female founders. However, there are some men who can slip in where I just love their business so much that, and their vision and their values aligns with mine. So it's like, yeah, we can bring you in there. But it's usually creative entrepreneurs, service-based business owners. I've worked with product-based business owners as well. Yeah, so creative entrepreneurs, coaches, and content creators.
Great. So, guys, as Jo said, all her links will be on the show notes and also on my website. So, if you are a founder and you're looking for some help for strategy, you can reach out to Josephine at the Owusu Collective.
Collective, yeah.
And that would be that's it really. So, Jo, thanks so much for your time. It's been great speaking about the Holy Spirit, and I've loved it. And folks, that's it for this month. I do hope you've been encouraged to develop a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. The links to all the books Joe recommended and to Good Morning Holy Spirit will be in the show notes and on my website at www.jeankabasomi.com/podcasts. That's www.jeankabasomi.com/podcasts. As I mentioned in the intro, Joe has kindly offered a complimentary clarifying strategy call to all founders in our community. The link will be in the show notes, as well as ways to connect with Joe if you would like to find out more about her or the Owusu Collective. If you like this episode, could I please encourage you to do four things? Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google, Podcast Addict, Audible, or somewhere else. It really helps the algorithms get the podcast into the hands of other potential listeners. And lastly, can I ask you to share this podcast with anyone who might be interested in hearing about good Christian books? Well, that's all for me. Thanks for listening. God willing, I'll be back in your ears on the first Wednesday of March. Until then, keep reading and seeking the Lord. God bless. Bye.